from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the MVP, it's practice. They're only in shorts. They haven't even put pads on. But I do feel like he'll thrive once the pads go on because he wants to hit people. And that's part of his style. I am cautiously optimistic about him. And the reason why I say that is because they're not asking him to be, like, Keon Coleman in Buffalo, I think, is pretty much being asked to be option one for Josh Allen as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Nabers with the Giants. With Wilson, you could say it's Pickens and it's Freiermuth, and then maybe it's Jaylen Warren. So, look, this is not my way of now pivoting and saying they don't need to go get a better number two wide receiver. But what I am saying is, if I'm going to bet on a horse to come out of that second wide receiver grouping, it's going to be Wilson. Because
who else is there?
Well, I also felt like
Van Jefferson, Quez Watkins.
I also
felt
like watching day two of the draft, if he had gone with the 50th pick in the second round, I would not have been surprised.
He needs to be one thing this year. He needs to be good enough to get George Pickens some single coverage. That's it. He's going to get one-on-one matchups because Pickens will get double teamed, and if he starts winning those matchups, teams will take that.
I think
double
he's got
team
the
off.
Same thing that we liked about I didn't like about Deontay Johnson, because he couldn't hold on to the ball enough. But I think he gets open fast, Chris. And that's what they took out of this offense. And I think Russell Wilson,
I want to see if he can match the physicality of NFL corners. It's different than it is in college,
no
even
doubt,
high-level
but
college.
But, I mean, is Deontay Johnson a physical guy? No.
No, but he was elite at getting a free release and shaking guys, and that is a high-level skill. And so if Roman Wilson can approximate that, then they're going to be in good shape.
Here is George Pickens talking to reporters for the first time about the combative nature of things to start camp with the wide receivers coach, and his relationship with the new wide receivers coach.
He's a great guy. High energy for sure.
He looks like he's, like you said, the high energy, not afraid to kind of get in your face, that kind of thing. What does a coaching style like that do for you? How does it help the wide receivers?
I kind of had, Coach Smart, Kirby Smart's kind of like that. So I kind of had a coach like that in college. So it's really no huge change for me. That's just, Coach Z's personality.
You welcome that kind of challenge, though, when a coach does that for you?
I just welcome him, period. It's not really, like I said, I had a coach like that before, so it's really not a challenge.
I don't know. I don't see the parallels there. I don't see the similarities. Saying that a head coach and your position coach are two different things.
I also think in college it's different. Kirby Smart really did have the hammer where he could go, oh, you don't like it here? I guess go somewhere else. There are a bunch of 4- and 5-star guys sitting behind you on the depth chart who I will happily put in for you.
That's a good point. But also, I feel like with Kirby Smart, with your head coach, especially at a place like that where there are so many good players, how much is the head coach specifically on George Pickens' ass? I don't think a lot. How much is his wide receivers coach when he's the best guy and he's got a reputation that they're trying to change or they're trying to break him of certain behaviors?
He's on his ass constantly.
Right.
Here's something else I think is a dynamic unexplored about this. I brought this up when I was filling in for Pomp this weekend for a couple of
hours. And rave reviews, by the way.
Not as rave as what I heard about Austin Bechtold. And I heard some of the Bechtold show yesterday.
I thought he did a fine job.
Rock solid work from Austin Bechtold. But no, this is another thought I had about this because I was just trying to mull around. Is there an angle we're missing? Wouldn't it usually be, and didn't you always hear from players typically, that if they were getting chewed out, that the head coach was the bad guy at the NFL level, and that the position coach was the good cop? Head coach might be like, what the hell were you doing? You effed that up. That was terrible. Position coach, who you have a much more direct relationship with, pulls you in, hey, it's all good. Here's what we need to do. That seems like a more normal and healthy relationship here. I feel like Mike Tomlin's much more likely to, again, be the good cop and be poo-pooing any George Pickens outbursts. Here's why I don't love that. The message it sends to Pickens is, oh, my position coach might be on me and coaching me very hard, but when my head coach talks about me, he kind of just says, like, nope, George is good, we're all good. It's almost like you're undercutting the position coach at that point.
I know, but the thing I do like about it is actions speak louder than words, and if they didn't think that George needed that kind of coaching, I don't think they would have gone out and got this
kind of
coach.
So you think this is a tacit admission by Mike Tomlin that he needed to have a stick of dynamite?
More of a taskmaster. Yep, I do. I'm hoping that that's the case, and I think you can make a reasonable argument.
So
that
when
that's
Mike,
why it happened.
So if and when Mike says it's no big deal, you guys make it into more than it is with George, you will put that as just water under the bridge because you think he already made his move?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You disagree?
I just think there's a chance for it. I hope that you are right here. I hadn't thought about it that way. I hope you are right. I think there is a chance where Pickens just says, no, coach seems happy with me. You might not, but
this isn't a Steelers weekend review nugget, but it is somewhat related. Tim McManus covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. The throw of the day belonged to Kenny Pickett. He threw a dime down the left sideline that somehow dropped over Quinyon Mitchell, who was in tight coverage, and into the arms of Bretan Covey. That's who he's now throwing to. No A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith there.
What's the guy's name?
Britton Covey.
Britton Covey.
Bretan. Great Bretan.
Bretan Covey, that's a nice play. We're going to see, Charlie, if he can make this team.
Can Covey beat the cover two? You could call it the Covey two if he does.
I cannot wait for that.
For the pomp games?
I am going into the preseason games, and I'm not going to take as much away from them anymore.
It's going to be lighthearted and fun. But I'm waiting for Pomp and Charlie to
break
things down.
The entertainment value of Pompeiani being like, Des Fitzpatrick, can this guy find his way onto the Steelers roster? Look at LaMichael Pirine. He's got a little wiggle.
I think the best ones are like punt coverage.
Yeah.
Like the punter just booms one down there and somebody, like the gunner, makes the play and then he just highlights that guy.
Give me a random guy who could return a kick who is nowhere near the 53-man right now who could like take a kick back 75 yards. And Pomp would say, we're going to have to put him on the board, possibly. We're going to have to keep an eye out for... give me a funny name right now. I can't even think of one, honestly.
Who's like a down-the-line guy with them?
So many of their wideouts are down-the-line guys. I get them all mixed up. A wideout or a running back who would be returning a kick that could get on Pomp's radar.
Well, I mean, I don't know where you would put Quez Watkins, but like he'll probably get some
honestly,
shots.
Honestly, Donnie, too well-known.
He is too well-known.
Too well-known for this.
Yeah, that was my thinking.
Hold on. Let me... I think I'm going to be able to find one here. Hold on. Just give me 1 second. I have their 90-man roster up, and I am going to find a gem. Jerre Jenkins. We're going to see more of him potentially. Like, that's just a random guy. Could you... Here, where did Jerre Jenkins go to school?
No clue.
Pony?
Did you ask me about who? Jerre Jenkins?
Jenkins. J-A-R-A-Y.
I have no idea.
LSU. How are you a guy at LSU nobody knew about? Deuce Watts. We're going to see more from Deuce. The Deuce is loose.
But I am stoked for that. Thursday, Bears and Texans Hall of Fame game. Thursday night, I'll be there with bells on. Not literally, but I'll be in front of my TV watching.
What if you just took Stella and said, Amanda, we're going for a field trip. We're going to Tom Benson Stadium.
Tim McManus on Pickett. He's been pretty solid. He has a bigger arm than I was anticipating.
What did he think?
And bigger hands, too?
Oh, give me a break.
You gotta love it.
What if Pickett was wearing the equivalent of lifts for his hands? Like his fingertips got extended out like an extra quarter.
Well, that's
inch.
What he was doing with those exercises before the draft combine.
Bigger arm. Did he? He did not write the bigger hands thing.
No,
please
I just
tell
threw
me.
That in there.
I kind of thought it was plausible that he could have as it for a laugh. But here's the problem. It's Kenny Pickett is pretty much acceptable. If he is your backup quarterback, that's fine.
Well, he's also proven he can be a training camp star.
Right.
So,
like, he's all about precision. It's when the real bullets start flying that things get very...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Problematic.
Bob Nightingale painted about the most depressing picture possible for the Pirates. And I warned everybody. I said, Bob's got like zero energy in interviews, but he usually has good information.
Curiously, though,
it
Bob
was information
has,
I didn't want to hear.
Yeah, it was information that was sad, delivered with the bedside manner of a doctor that's got a lot of rounds to make.
I mean, how about when we started him off? He goes, what team are you talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, what team again is this?
Buddy,
oh,
you're
the Pirates.
In Pittsburgh. We're not asking you about the friggin'.
Yes, the Pirates. Yeah, they might sell Chapman.
Rangers, for crying out loud.
Do you know
loud.
What, though? At the end, you say he's not a big energetic guest.
He did. When
you
he
said,
was excited that the call was over.
Yeah, when you said, all right, Bob, thanks for the
he
time.
Was ecstatic.
All right,
the interview
hey, thanks
was
for
done.
Having me. Great.
His favorite part of the interview is when it was over. Let's hope the same thing's not true of our next guest. He does great work and has covered the Red Sox, writing about them, talking about them. WEEI Boston, his podcast, is also very popular. Baseball isn't boring. We run promos for that all the time and for good reason. Talking about Rob Radford, who's going to enlighten us on Nick York, who the Pirates acquired for Quinn Priester a couple hours ago. Rob, what's the scouting report on this guy? What can you tell us about him?
Well, first of all, let's go. Pirates, trade deadline.
Woo!
Let's go. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to
traded for the lead singer of Radiohead, right?
Exactly. So, Nick York, yeah, he is it is a swap of underwhelming first-round picks, I guess. And I guess that's not a great way to start the Nick York introduction, but I will say this about Nick York. Since he got promoted to AAA this year, he's absolutely torn it up. So he was a first-round pick in 2020 for the Red Sox. Middle infielder, really can only play second base. He's played outfield a little bit in the minor leagues just because you never want a guy can only really play one position. Always considered an offense first, second baseman. Not a terrible defender. I do think he's a major leaguer. My initial reaction, honestly, in this trade was I thought they would get more for Nick York. So if that is good for you guys, I mean, congratulations. I'm painting a more rosy picture about the Pirates trade deadline. I don't know if he's going to be an All-Star. I do think he's going to be a major leaguer.
Rob, what makes him a major leaguer in your mind?
Well, I think he can hit. you know, I think he can hit. And he hit in the AAA. He's hit in Worcester when he got called up. He's not going to be he's not going to blow you away in terms of hitting 30 home runs or stealing a lot of bases. But throughout the course, the majority of his professional career, he's hit. He was a little bit of a reach in the first round. Everybody thought so. And, you know, his body type, he's not super athletic. He's more of a thick guy, you know, has had some weight issues early on in his career, but sort of gotten that was under control. But, you know, I think he can hit, but he's not playing shortstop at all. He's not going to be a center fielder. He's not super athletic, but I think he can be a major league second baseman who can hit.
Why haven't the Red Sox had use for him? It's not like they have Pedroia there anymore, just anchoring second base. So why hasn't he managed to crack that lineup this year?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it was a little bit his development was a little bit behind for them to say, all right, you get your crack at second base. Because one of the things that did not help Nick York was that he did not have a good spring training. And he was only playing second. And so that's when they put him in the outfield a little bit. And then he started hitting once he got the AAA. He hit okay in AA as well. But they went into this year saying Vaughn Grissom is going to be the second baseman of the future. We traded Chris Sale for him. Vaughn Grissom hasn't worked out. He's been hurt a lot. They've been running these other guys through there. But I did feel like if they held on to Nick York past the deadline and he kept hitting in Worcester, that there was a possibility that they would give him a chance. But I think he just put himself behind the eight ball a little bit with such a terrible spring training.
Talking to Rob Bradford, who covers the Red Sox and has for a long time from WEEI in Boston, he's calling Nick York, the player the Pirates picked up for Quinn Priester, a major leaguer because he can hit. Is he going to hit for high average or is he going to hit for power, Rob? Which one's going to make him a big leaguer that sticks?
I think it's more going to be hitting for average. I mean, I think this is a guy who – now, when I say he can hit, I mean, he can hit and keep in a major league lineup, and it's going to be something where you're not going to be like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this guy's hitting ninth and staying in the lineup.
Gotcha.
Ultimately, what you're talking about is my guess. It's still – this is a cliche, but, the 280, 15 home run guy. But this was his thing. He was always considered among scouts, among the organization – if he was going to get to the major leagues, it was not going to be because of his athleticism or his fielding. It was going to be because of his bat. And that's what held him back because he wasn't blowing away people in AA last year and in spring training and then early on. But once he got to Worcester in AAA this year, it's been a different guy. And his numbers speak for themselves.
Rob, how bad is the defense here? Like, does he take a shovel out there to second base with him? What are we getting here on that front?
No, you know, he's pretty good at second base, but the problem is that he's not a guy, if you're considered really good defender at second base, there's a perception that maybe you can play shortstop. He's not playing shortstop. He's solid at second base. There's a guy here now, Emmanuel Valdez, playing for the Red Sox. He's sort of an offensive first guy, but Nick York is a much better defender than he is. I mean, a lot of times you see guys who it looks like their gloves aren't even broken in. No, I mean, Nick York is not that guy. Nick York is a decent enough fielder.
Better player than Michael Chavis, who we had to endure.
That's
from you guys.
A great one.
Oh, no.
You know, I thought of that the other day. I thought of that immediately when this happened because obviously former first-round pick, that the Red Sox were ready to move on from. And I love that question because I would say this. Nick York absolutely in this organization is viewed better than Michael Chavis was when they traded him for Big Fudge. Absolutely. So, you know, I think at that point Michael Chavis had some moments, but by the time he was traded to Pittsburgh, you know, they sort of like, it's really not going to work out. I don't think they saw that with Nick York.
Rob Bradford, WEEI Boston. Check out his podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring. Rob, thank you so much for joining us, man. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Rob.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you later.
All right, that was better than
much
than Nightingale.
And you know what? We dodged a bullet very early on there. You know that blue check blocker thing I had on? It had accidentally, he had fallen victim. I had to very swiftly unblock follow there because I didn't know he was blocked.
So why is this guy going to AAA then?
Well, that's the thing. It sounds like it was a you-know-what or get-off-the-pot moment. Either they were going to hold on to him and actually give him a shot, or they thought he was more valuable to them in a trade.
Well, now I want the Pirates to give him a shot.
Well, that's – oh, you're saying why did he – yeah. I thought you meant like why did he –
No, I mean, why is he going to AAA here?
No, I know.
You got Nick Gonzalez out and Jared Triolo and Jiwon Bae playing
second base. Is a decent enough glove who Rob thinks is like your cliche 280, maybe 12 to 15 home run hitter, hello, welcome to the Pirates lineup. You are now the third best offensive player on the team.
I think that's what he said.
I hate to fall back on that cliche, but then I think he basically said that's what he is.
Well, then that's a good trade.
Doesn't have a ton of power, but definitely hits.
That's a good trade by Charrington.
You know how I know he probably is a good hitter? Because Rob basically said all of his other attributes to be a professional ball player aren't there.
And look, I never said that this was a bad trade. It's that I was hoping for, maybe like an idiot, Jazz Chisholm or somebody like that. We know what he is as a major leaguer. This guy is, I won't say lottery ticket, but... I guess it is a lottery ticket. If I'm going to call Russell Wilson / Justin Fields a lottery ticket.
But I think it's trying to win like the pick two where you could conceivably pick the correct
two numbers.
I have
terrible luck with lottery tickets.
Oh, most people have great luck with them.
And the only slot machine that ever paid out for me was the Soprano slot machine at Foxwoods in Connecticut to the tune of $8,000.
Bada bing.
Oh, yeah.
T. Hey, Tone.
Hey,
T.
You ever have any slot luck, Don?
He did.
A little bit, a couple weeks ago. I mean, it was nothing like that.
Like 400-something bucks?
Won 400 bucks.
And then didn't your boy Big Chase go, that's 4K!
Yeah, he tends to get a little bit overexcited, if you can't tell.
A lot of references to Big Chase
on
the show today.
We saw him yesterday. We were at Dino's, and he ordered stuffed cabbage soup with his wings.
Oh!
The guy loves soup.
Which is just an atrocity.
Stuffed cabbage soup?
I mean, it looked good,
I guess I should
but...
knock it till I try it, but like I just don't
I've
see those
it.
Two
it's,
things
it looked
working.
It looked better than what I anticipated.
No,
how did it smell?
That's the problem. He's eating wings already. What's going to come out of him?
Oh, my God.
They're going to have to get like one of those hazmat
He's
going to
be
crews.
Like Andre the Giant. He can't even go to the toilet. He's going to have to go in the bathtub.
our boy Caleb has struck again with a Kenny Pickett Photoshop.
Really?
Per reports... He said, per CTESPN, Kenny Pickett's hands have, quote, doubled in size and are now only an inch smaller than Jim Druckenmiller's.
That music means it's debrief time. Donnie Football debrief, his time to give us his daily football fix, and it is brought to you by Steel Mill Saloon. Glad to have them on board up in Mount Washington. Don?
The debrief, July 29, 2024. Over the weekend, the Steelers announced their 2024 Hall of Honor class. Casey Hampton, Willie Parker, Jason Gilden, Dick LeBeau. Any of those guys you feel undeserving of that honor?
I believe
it'll actually happen. The actual ceremony will be against the Browns later this season.
So believe it or not, part of the time I was driving out to play golf with you, Donnie, yesterday, I had a decent little drive out to Totteridge, and I had Austin Bechtold on, and he did this take, and he said, no Joey Porter. Kind of thought about it for a second there.
Joey Porter is not in the Hall of Honor.
No, I know. He said it as point of fact.
I've got the list up so that
and so if
backs up what he's saying.
If I'm taking Jason Gilden... and I'm putting Gilden in, and I know that Joey Porter had actually his biggest ever sack season outside of Pittsburgh when he won comeback. He was comeback player of the year, top 10. He was second team all pro. 60 sacks with the Steelers, pretty significant player on a Super Bowl team. Definitely that team's like voice and bite and some bark.
Mm-hmm.
Gilden had, I think, more sacks with the Steelers, I want to say. He had 80.
Yeah, Gilden was the leader before Harrison.
He had 77.
And then TJ Watt
is now the leader.
He had 77 with the Steelers because three of them with the Jags. I got to be honest, this is one, though, for me where Porter being part of a Super Bowl team probably puts him over the top. I'd put Porter there before Gilden.
So we've reached the part of the Hall of Honor where they enshrine guys every year. And they've done all of the Pro Football Hall of Famers. So the guys that are great Steelers but not necessarily great players all time are starting to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that opens the door for someone like Gilden. I'll give you another guy I thought about because I do think enough time has gone by since he retired where it's like, all right, he should be debated for a spot in the Hall of Honor. How about DeCastro?
How long has he been gone? 3 years?
2020 was his last season, and he didn't really even play that year.
And I think one of the rules is that you have to be
3 years
retired,
gone, right?
At least 3 years.
I know that because Mr. Bechtold himself, I'll give him another pop. He was going through the rules. DeCastro would be a good one, I think, yeah. I mean, I thought he was at the very high end of the league in terms of guard play for pretty much his entire career. When he was healthy, he was one of the best.
And I'll give you, well, never mind, he's in. Damn it.
Would you go Porter or would you go Gildan? Obviously, Gildan's the one getting in.
Porter.
Like, I just think he was the better player on better teams, ultimately.
I think there's a guy who Donnie ran into on Friday and who tackled me recently whose career is perfect for the Hall of Honor. Kiesel.
Yeah.
Not a Pro Football Hall of Famer, but someone who should get acknowledged by his team for his contributions to that organization.
I'm trying to remember who was in there last year.
Steelers 2023
yeah,
Hall of Honor
up?
Class? I do, actually.
Aaron Smith's already in there, and he would
James
have been a
Harris,
classic guy like that.
James Harrison, Ray Mansfield, Jerry Mullins, Aaron Smith. That's the list. Those four guys.
If Smith's in there and Hampton's in there, Kiesel ought to be in there.
Yeah.
Those guys, that was your three. That was your trio up front.
I have another name for you guys.
Ricardo Coakley.
Chidi Awoma.
Damn it. How about Cordell?
I would put him in there. He with two Pro Bowls.
He does deserve to be in there. I mean, they're going to be, they're absolutely going to be
third
guys.
He's still the third best quarterback in franchise history.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'd bring him on that way when he did a weekly spot with us. We'd say, ladies and gentlemen, on with us right now is the third best dealer.
And then he would occasionally do a little Allman Brothers. We could really get him wound up. And boy, Lord, he was born a rambling
man. He was a key, as a rookie, he was a key part on an AFC champion Steelers.
It was fun doing a show with him. Remember he wanted to get together and drink ginger ale and Crown Apple?
Oh, yeah. That was his thing. Yeah.
He called it the Slash.
Yeah, he did. That's right. See, I think there are people who still hold both 97 and 2001 against him. 97, you can make the case. The AFC title game, he just played a bad game, and the Broncos were ready for them that time after having been beaten by them in the season during the season. I just still have such a hard time putting the 01 AFC title game on him. There were so many special teams breakdowns, just ghastly ones in that game. He was trying to play catch-up from, I believe, a 21-3 or a 24-3 deficit. I think it was 21-3. And so, yeah, he's forcing balls into coverage. But if they don't have two hideous special teams gaffes in that game, they probably win it. They probably play the game just on their terms and win a low-scoring slugfest. He absolutely should be
in. Do you think Le'Veon Bell should be in their Hall of Honor?
I do. He's not going to get in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and it ended poorly here, but in a very businesslike poor way where it was, I want this money, you don't want to give me it.
Imagine if they had a class 1 year that was just Bell and Antonio Brown.
Martavis gets in. No, I think Bell. How many running backs in your lifetime for the Steelers have you seen who were better than AB? Like, or not AB, Bell. Better.
Jerome.
Well, I mean,
Jerome. Okay, Jerome. Better career for sure, and a better back ultimately because he played longer.
I was young
good.
When Jerome was still.
Was
really
Willie
good.
Parker better than Le'Veon Bell? Not in my opinion.
No, but he has
Parker
more.
Parker did have some really good seasons.
He has more rushing yards all time with the Steelers than
I know,
Bell.
And he has
two Super
has
Bowls,
signature.
So
he has signature moments. He has a 75-yard run.
He's got better stats
run.
And he's got more rings, so he's got to be ranked ahead of Bell.
The thing with me for Bell is when he was on, there were very few like him in the NFL, ever. I mean, it was like. A cross between
sure, but
Falk
I,
and McCaffrey and Edgerrin James and all those guys.
I ultimately side with the decision. I would put Willie Parker into their Hall of Honor before I put Bell.
I think that's defensible because Parker had a humongous play in a Super Bowl. The one that broke a long drought of not winning them.
Do you think
century.
Of Lawrence Timmons as a Hall of Honor guy?
I actually do. I think the Hall
he
of Honor.
He should be in there.
The Hall of Honor was, to me, created for guys like Timmons. He's not a Hall of Fame player, but he is absolutely one of the better and I would think more underrated Steelers. Of
how many
memory.
All pros for him, if you had to guess?
Either one
Timmons?
Or none.
Yeah.
I don't think he had any.
One or none.
He was a second teamer in 14, and that was it.
But he was like always, if you
just
were
very solid.
If you were naming like the 10 or 12, and no one really talked about them like this back then, but if you were naming the 10 or 12 best off ball linebackers in the league, he'd probably have always been in that 8 to 12 range, which is not all pro level.
If you had only one spot, and it's Ike Taylor or Lawrence Timmons, who do you give it to?
Ooh.
I think I'd actually go with Timmons, although...
Wow, I'd go with Ike.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like Ike has been a very underappreciated player.
He's got to go into this one.
Like, Ike would be putting on a gold jacket if he had better hands.
While he was here, very underappreciated player.
100%.
Ike was a starter on both Super Bowl teams.
I mean, I'll give you a wild card for
this. I think Ike Pony, but you said him definitively Ike Taylor. I think it's very close.
I'll give you a wild card for this. I think Craig Wolfley's got to go in at some point. When you think about it, I think it should go, if you've been a part of an organization,
not just the whole of his contribution.
I think you should.
He should.
Basically played almost an entire...
Yeah, honor him as a player and a broadcaster.
He played a decade as a lineman.
Dedicated service to the Steelers, Chalooch.
Donnie, what team did Craig Wolfley play for after his Steelers career ended for 2 years? Pony knows it.
I think Minnesota.
Yeah, I didn't want you to actually say it. I wanted Donnie to guess.
I didn't know.
Now, did you know that because you were on Football Reference?
No, I'm not, but I think I heard him tell a story once where...
I was up there banging, they were blowing into that horn, Chalooch.
He was driving to Minnesota to start training camp there, and he heard something about how great the donuts were in the state of Minnesota, and like every 20 miles he was stopping off
and get donuts at like little mom and pop shops. Yeah. That sounds very on brand. I could believe that story easily.
Do they have Tunch in there?
Yes.
Of course.
Okay. Tunch is already in.
He's got to be.
He's in.
I was hoping like that. Yeah. They put him in there a couple of years
ago. Man, the Ike Timmons question really has me flummoxed. Would a guy like Randall L. deserve to be in?
No.
For either of you?
No. Thank you for the play in the Super Bowl. Nice player, but I'm not putting him in the Hall of Honor. Anyway.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.